Welcome to episode 25 of Behaviorally Speaking, a podcast featuring board-certified behavior analysts Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi. On this episode, they'll talk about ways parents can create a smooth summer from sticking to routines, chores, and even a little academics to helping kids manage boredom and setting fun goals like a summer bucket list. Behaviorally Speaking is brought to you by Will, a Rethink division, an employer-provided digital well-being solution to support parents and caregivers of children with learning, social, and behavioral challenges. And now, here are your hosts, Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi.
Hello and welcome to our 25th episode of Behaviorally Speaking. I'm one of your hosts, Angela Nelson, board-certified behavior analyst and mother of two.
And I'm Kristen Bondi, also a board-certified behavior analyst and mother of three. Hey, Angie, I feel like 25 is like a wedding anniversary or something.
I was just going to say, I feel like this is a milestone one. 25, yeah. This is kind of a big deal.
It really is. Exciting.
I know. Cool. Well, yeah. And this is a fun one too. I think that this is going to be a fun topic, kind of kicking off for summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. We are in summer here. It's so hot. My husband and I had like a realization over the weekend. We walked outside and we're like, man, it is toasty here. So obviously, most of you know we're in Florida, and it's not just hot, but it's like humid hot. So it's like sticky. But we took the opportunity to clean out like all of our toys, which I'm like a weirdo and really likes cleaning and organization. This should probably come as no surprise. So I set up like buckets for my kids and I was like, okay, guys, so all the balls are going to go in here and all of the cars in here. And then Parker, you're going to wash them all. And then, Keatley, you're going to put them, and we did that. And then my baby just like went around and sat in all the buckets. It was great.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was summer. Yeah, a good way to kind of merge cleaning up, but then also some fun water play and stuff too.
Yeah, cool. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I didn't expect the little one to sit in all of the bins, but he just, of course, he's a year now. So he's walking around and just like getting into everything. So yeah.
Cool.
So it was fun.
Yeah. Well, today is my older daughter's 9th birthday. So it's kind of a fun way to kick off summer. Yeah, I know. And they're officially off of school. So this is kind of their first official week of summer. So they're just laying low, hanging out, playing with some new toys. And yeah, I guess that kind of leads us into our topic for today, which is all about summer and kind of cool parent summer hacks to have a smoother time this couple months. So should we kind of kick it off?
Yeah, let's do it. I think this is a good one because it's surprisingly common. Like parents, we get into summer every year and it's like, we do it every year, but for some reason it's new, right? It's like, wait, oh no, we're into summer. Our schedule has changed. Am I prepared? So I guess the first tip or big takeaway for today is try to keep a consistent schedule. So wherever you can, and if you can't, I guess if you can't keep it super consistent, maybe keep it visual, right? So you're telling your kids, hey, this is what we have coming up this summer. I actually did this with Parker. So he's my oldest and he's 5, but this was our first year. I think we talked about it on the last episode, but this was our first year getting into summer camps. Mm-hmm. And so I said, hey, here's two camps. He was familiar with both of them. And I said, here's two camps. Let's look at your summer. Let's look at the week or the weeks in the summer and which week do you want to go to which camp? And it was really cool because he was able to say like, oh, I want to do 4 in a row here and then 4 in a row here. But it was neat because we could write it all out. So where you can, write out your calendar. And then also, this is a big one that we get a lot from families. Well, what about that bedtime routine, right? So do we just let them stay up until midnight, party every night? No. The answer's no. You don't want to do that. Because the obvious reason is you get into trouble when you're getting to get back into the school year, right? So you want to try to keep a consistent schedule and bedtime routine when you can throughout the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. I know there are people that let their kids stay up later, and certainly we're not going to be as strict about it. You know, if we have a late night here or something like that, but it's not only to help ease that transition back into school year, which will be here before we know it. But you know, kids do need a certain number of hours of sleep too. And if they're anything like my kids, if my kids go to bed really late, they are still going to wake up at that same early time. And then they're just sleep deprived and crabby the next day.
Well, and not to mention, we'll probably mention it later here, but if your kids are going to summer camp like mine, like summer camp wears my kids out. I mean, we're already a couple weeks in here because school gets out early in Florida. But I mean, my son is exhausted when he comes home. So,
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, so let's get into our second kind of summer hack or, you know, tip essentially, if you will. So thinking about how we're actually structuring and spending our time. And if you can, really think about making downtime a goal. So can we be present? Can we focus on having more of a relaxed time? So for a lot of our families out there, they might be working. Certainly, Kristen, that's you and I and our family. So we're not going to be able just to sit around and relax by the pool. That's not necessarily what we mean by downtime, which if you can do that, awesome. And even if you're working, if you can take some time off or do it on the weekends, great. But we're kind of talking about this kind of more overarching potential core value, which is, can you schedule a little time to be more present with your kids? If they're home, you know, they're going to summer camp, they're doing various things, great. But, you know, if you are able to spend a little bit more time with them to be present and spend that kind of quality time doing everything or nothing, you know, just to kind of think about that. Can you prioritize having a little bit more downtime with your kids during the summer?
Yeah. I think this is such a good one. And it's something that's missed because especially if you're a working parent, right? Like your life kind of stays the same when your kids get into summer. But it's important to recognize like, well, your kids have a little bit more free time now. And this is a good time to really, like you were saying, if one of your core values is spend more time with my family, then this summertime might be a good time to try to add that in, you know? So we say, okay, I'm going to try to cut out on Fridays, maybe an hour early every Friday. And that's going to be my goal just for the summertime. Where you can. So I think that's a really good point. Yeah. So I think the third one that we could roll into is maybe really important or equally as important as all the other ones, but don't do this alone, right?
Yeah.
So we just kind of piggybacking off the first two where we're saying, hey, you know, get a good schedule going and also be more present with your kids. But, you know, the expectation isn't to be Superman or Superwoman here. Make sure that you lean on some supports that you have available to you. Angie, I know you've mentioned a couple times, I think, the parks and rec that you have near you.
Yeah.
You could probably speak to that. You've used those a few times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I really like it because it's local. They have some good varieties and they're not expensive, you know, especially living in the LA area. Some of these camps are cost prohibitive for most parents. It's kind of crazy. And so, you know, for us, we get the little flyer that comes in. I think it's every, you know, 8 weeks or so. My kids dive in there and they take a look at everything that's in there. And it goes for several weeks and they're pretty cheap. So, it's a good way actually this summers. I feel like when you have younger kids, it's a great way to kind of test out different sports, different activities. Do they like art? Do they want to do like a building or a science camp or something like that? So I think most local areas have some sort of parks and rec or just something that's put on by, you know, the community. And it's a great inexpensive way to kind of have the kids, you know, have some fun and try out some new things, especially if parents are working.
Yeah, I love that. And we do have that here too. And I didn't look into it. I just knew of those couple of camps that we had. So obviously we did summer camp, but so parents keep in mind that if you are already, you know, you're already into summer, maybe something to keep in mind for next summer. And then another way you can get some support is maybe even doing like a kid swap. I know this is something that during the pandemic, everybody was really focused on. So, hey, how can we manage our work life with our kid life? And so we saw a lot of pods pop up and, you know, lots of parents really just supporting parents. And this mm-hmm. during the summer is another really great way to do that. So you could say, hey, I'll take your kids this week, you take mine next week. And, you know, that might be a really nice way for your kids to have some fun. And you also get some alone time to either work or do something else.
Yeah, it's true. I actually, so there's a group of five of us, parents that moms that have kids kind of around the same age in the school. And this is something, a text chain that's going around actually right now as we speak. I have like 31 unread text messages from this group just from this morning. And they're actually talking about that. So four out of the five of the moms in the group work. And so they are trying to kind of figure out, we have already kind of our system down in our house, but I am thinking of a way to kind of get in on that kid swap too, just even just a little bit, even if it's just a pop-up day, you know, where a couple of the moms come together. We've got one mom that's needing to travel for work. And so we're going to all kind of pitch in to help out. And it kind of just evens out. And it is a win-win for everybody, because the kids get a chance to play with their friends. The parents get a chance to work or maybe, you know, run errands or do things that they need to do. And so, yeah, it's a really nice way to kind of lean in and again, to your earlier point, not doing it alone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So find what works for you. But yeah, lots of good ideas there.
Yeah. So the next tip, this probably won't come to us as a surprise to our listeners, but keeping up with the chores. So I've already seen this just after a couple days since school has been out for us, but our house is already significantly messier with the kids home and not being at school. We also had both my kids had birthdays. My older one's today. So there's kind of some presents floating around and just boxes and all the stuff and things that come home from school. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yes.
I was talking to one of my friends and she had a good idea. She said, I'm just going to do a little bit each day. It's hard for me because I am kind of a neat freak. It's hard to see. It's hard to see the backpacks and the lunch boxes and, you know, all the portfolios. And I mean, the teachers, they've done an amazing job putting these really elaborate portfolios of all the writing and the artwork and all these cool projects. Yeah, it's really neat. I'm super impressed, but it's just a lot of stuff coming home and all the, you know, the pencils and the pencil sharpeners, everything's coming home and it's just a volcano in our living room right now in our kitchen. So I say all that to emphasize that, yes, when kids, especially at the right after dismissal, right after the end of the school year, it's kind of an avalanche of kind of stuff coming home. And then kids are around more. And so there's going to be snacks and there's going to be games and there's going to be toys and things just left around, where during the regular school year, they're at school and, you know, can kind of keep things a little bit more contained during the day. So keeping up with the chores, keeping up with those expectations, kind of listing those out. Maybe it's time, as your kids are transitioning and getting to be a little bit older, to revisit who does what chores. Maybe adding in some new chores or kind of reassessing, you know, what needs to be done. Can you create a little bit more and put on their plate? And just making sure that everybody's doing their part and kind of being part of that team to keep that family household moving.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this. And I wonder if you could even, I mean, I'm thinking about this for myself, but maybe because we're moving in this month, but I'm thinking about like, can we get rid of some toys? Like is summer, it doesn't have to just be spring cleaning, right? Like couldn't summertime be the time where you're like, okay, everyone, we're going to go through our toys and you know, you get to pick, here's your keep box and here's your giveaway box. And you know, I feel like I need to do that like 3 or 4 times a year with my children, because there's just, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think,
during holidays and birthdays too. Mm-hmm. My kids are actually good about that now too. They'll say, oh, we got a lot of new stuff. We should probably donate. And right now with the Squishmallows, I don't know if you heard about that. This, they're just stuffed.
Are
they're
those really the big soft. Pillows?
Yes. Well, they're
we have
animals.
Them.
Yeah. And they're really soft and they're really cute, but that was a huge, toy this year for presents. And so my kids both got like 7 Squishmallows and now their beds are just covered in Squishmallows. And so we have to downsize the other stuffed animals.
I actually didn't know there was a name for them. Are they like the circles, right? Like it's a circle and then there's just all different.
Yeah. They're all sorts of animals. Yeah. Everything. Oh.
Mm-hmm. So I got them for my kids for Valentine's Day and I had no idea that these were even a thing. I just thought they were cute. So, looks like I've got more coming.
We have one that's 24 inches. Yeah, big. And there's fruits and we have a corn Squishmallow and a strawberry squish. Yeah, it's insane.
Wow. It's like what was it when we were kids? What were the little bean bag babies?
Oh, beanie babies?
Beanie babies. Yeah. There we go. Yes. Yeah. Bringing it all back.
Definitely.
All right. Okay. So moving on here. So a big one. Discuss your summertime rules. This one's huge because I think as you get into summer, and it probably depends on how old your kids are too, some might just know, hey, these are the rules of summer. I already know. Others might be getting into teenager years where they're like, ooh, screens all day, every day, right? Or snacks all day. And so I think it can be really helpful to say, no, these are our rules. This is what's going to be allowed during the summer, whether it be screen time, what you're going to allow for screen time, what are you going to allow for that cell phone? What are you going to require for academics? So I think in this one, just be as proactive as you can. And if you're a few weeks in and you didn't set any rules, that's okay. You have a weekend meeting and say, all right, you know, we've got about 6 weeks left. We need to start setting some rules and boundaries here.
Yeah. This is actually one that came up just this morning. Since Friday was our first official day of summer and it was kind of just a transition day. We were kind of getting ready for a little mini trip that we took this weekend. So today is kind of like the official day, the first day. And so we did actually have, and we need to reinforce this with maybe a more substantial meeting, but we talked about the snacking because I came out there, it was 9 a.m. They were watching shows and they were eating Goldfish crackers and pretzels. And I said, did you guys have breakfast? And they said, no, this is our breakfast. I'm like, okay.
Oh no.
Yeah. And just with the free access and now they're older, they can come across in the kitchen and fill up whatever they want. And so I just don't really want them snacking on junk food all day. At school, they don't do that. They don't have access, but now they have free access to food all day. So I just, and you know, when you're 7 and 9, what are you going to choose? Of course, the chips and the crackers and the cookies and things like that. So so we had to have a talk about that. As one of our summer rules. So,
you know what a lot of families did, at least during the pandemic, and I know I recommended this one a lot, and some of our listeners might still do this, but I think you and I talked about it too, doing like a summer snack, like getting one of those, you know, the little caddies that carry your pencils and your scissors and glue and like, you know, one of those, and you get one for each of your children, and then you fill it with their snacks for the day. So you say, here are your snacks for the day. If you eat them all by 10 a.m., well, then you don't have any snacks left, but you know, this is what's available. But obviously it's more work on the front end. And if you can teach your children to just maybe, you know, make a healthier snack choice or tell them what they can have, it might be helpful. But that might be, for some families, that might be the way to go.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That teaches them kind of, managing, budgeting, you know, and as your kids get older, you don't have to be as prescriptive, but it's teaching those larger overarching skills of making good choices and listening to your body. I think that's the thing too, is kids, they start off with a bang, you know, in the summer, oh, I have access to all this stuff. And then they get a stomach ache and then they just eat too many snacks and you're feeling like you're being the food police. I certainly don't want to be the food police for my kids, you know, but I also don't want them to just, you know, eat so much junk food that then they're not feeling good or they don't have any room for dinner. So,
That's the big one in our house. You don't have any room for dinner.
Awesome. All right. So going on to the next one, brainstorming anti-boredom activities. So this is a big one that we hear quite a bit. And I heard it a little bit this weekend too from my kids. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, we literally have just scratched the surface of summer and I don't want to hear anything about being bored. Yeah. So it was actually, we were just driving north about an hour to go on a little, just a one night staycation. And my daughter was thinking, or she is saying, well, what should I pack in the car? I said, I don't know. You can pack your coloring books, or she had this would you rather kind of fun joke book. Can you bring that? Can you bring some of your, they got these little brain games where they have to fit these different pegs in these different holes and make these different shapes and stuff. Cool. It's kind of like, did you ever have tangrams when you were a kid? They're, or pentominoes? They're like little, anyways, they're like these little games where you can kind of make these shapes and stuff. Kind of like Tetris, but touch them and move them. So all sorts of cool little things. And she's like, I don't know. Okay, I'll bring that stuff. But then what if I get bored the rest of the time? It's like, I don't even want to hear about being bored. Oh my gosh. So yeah. So, you know, kids, we don't want them coming to us every 5 minutes saying they're bored. We really want to think about creating some independence. And we've talked about this in the past. For some kids, we might need to be more prescriptive, either younger kids or kids who might have an intellectual developmental disability. They might need more structure in creating a picture schedule, or, you know, laying it out and saying, okay, first we're going to do this and then we're going to do that, and having it on a schedule so they can actually look at it and reference it. And that helps to build some independence. They can transition from one to the next, maybe with a little bit of prompting. Eventually, when your kids get a little bit older, or if they're able to juggle this, maybe sitting down with them one day and proactively creating a list of activities that they can do. So maybe there's a combination of things that they really enjoy, maybe a couple of things in there that you want to use a bit more sparingly, like screen time and things like that. And then also, to your point earlier, integrating some sort of academic stuff just to kind of bridge the gap from one grade to the next, so they're not falling behind. Doing workbooks, reading, that's certainly going to be on our list of things to do. My husband and I have already planned it out. You know, they're going to have a certain little bit of time every day where they have to do some workbooks, and then they already read at night. So I'm not going to worry too much about that. The other thing too is a jar of ideas. So as opposed to having a list, if your kids do better with this, having a jar, and maybe everybody comes up with some ideas and they fold it up and they put it in that jar, and then you can just pull one out. And then, you know, you work on that particular one. So that's helpful, especially if you're working from home and you don't want a constant stream of kids coming through every 10 minutes and saying they're bored. You can then say, okay, you know, go pick out something from the jar, or let's look at your list of things to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this. And I think that it's so great to give some sort of visual representation, right? So like whatever works for you. I love the boredom jar idea. And something that I've suggested for families to do too is a way to kind of get everything in for the day that you want is maybe you could even put in certain windows of time. So like you just said, okay, we're going to do academics at some point in the day, right? So like it's at 12 o'clock every day. But for some kids, you might need to, like Angie was saying, be more prescriptive. So we're like, okay, in the morning, you can pick a fun activity. And then in the afternoon, we do this or something outside, and allow them to kind of write out the idea. So it's like, okay, what am I going to do for my fun activity this morning? You know, pull from your boredom jar and figure it out, you know? So I feel like you could even do that in the beginning of the day. So you say, hey, let's create your schedule today. What's it going to look like? What are you going to do? So that's a nice way to kind of get it all on there for the day. And then,
I think it just, depends on who your kid is. Like,
right.
You know your kid best and how prescriptive you need to be.
I know. My second child, she would be in my office every 2 minutes if she could. Yeah. Actually, she'd probably be laying on the floor of my office coloring all day if she had her way. That's what she'd be doing. Oh, good. All right. So let's keep going. We've got a few more. So, This is one that I have been never heard of this. Let me just say, making a summer bucket list. I have never heard these terms, oddly, over all the years. And then I've heard it 6 times in the last 5 days.
I've heard it too, a lot.
Crazy. I'm like, this must be a new thing, I'm sure, coming out that is like, make your summer bucket list. But I had 2 parents that I was talking with last week who said, have you heard about a summer bucket list? Should I make one? Like, do you have any ideas? And so I was like, this is a new thing. Mm-hmm. So we'll add it here and we'll say, make a summer bucket list. And obviously within reason. So like, what's going to work for you and your family? But choosing some things for the summer that you say, hey, if we get through the summer and we get these things done, we did it. You know, we're proud of ourselves. You could do volunteer work, or, oh, maybe we want to have a picnic outside, or we want to go to that water park, or we want to go visit a parent at work. So, you know, thinking about what you want to accomplish during the summer and maybe writing those things out might be a good idea. Yeah. Art projects.
Yeah. I love that. Lily has a house building kit that she started actually in the springtime. Yeah, I think it's geared for an adult because there's nothing done. You have to build everything, these little tables. Oh, wow. It comes with little metal kind of posts and you have to glue it. You have to cut out, you have to make a mirror, cut out. I mean, you have to make everything, the stairs, you have to, yeah, it's kind of amazing. All the materials are there. We got 2 of them actually for during the holidays. And it's been taking her a long time. And I imagine it's kind of a several month project, but she's really into it. And I mean, it's great. And it has electrical too. So when you're done, you put together this kind of 3-story house. It's like a little dollhouse. Yeah. And there's a chandelier that you have to create and stuff. And then it lights up. I'll take a picture and send it to you when it's done. It's pretty, it's significant. But if your kid really likes kind of STEAM activities and science and math and engineering and kind of building stuff, they have all sorts of different ones, based on your child's interest. But this is like Legos to the, way to the level.
Yeah, I was going to say, so like my oldest is now getting into Legos where he's getting better at it. So like he can sit and he can build, he's into cars. So he'll build like a Lamborghini, he'll build whatever he likes. And he's finally getting to the point where he can sit and do it on his own, which is really cool. But that sounds like, I'll have to wait a few years on something like that. Sounds intense.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's great for them.
Yeah. Plus to occupy the time. So that's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one other something to consider when you're making your summer bucket list is, and I've been suggesting this a lot to families, is make a weekly goal or a theme. So maybe we say, hey, everyone, this week we're going to work on respect. And let's talk about how we can do that. And let's find some ways where we can add that in. And maybe, or our weekly goal is giving back to the community. And let's figure out how we can do that. So I think that sometimes that can help with what's our focal point? Going to be, for the week.
Yeah. I really like that. And I'm just thinking too, for myself as a working parent, how would I add in something extra, but I feel like this is something pretty easy that you can integrate into your week, but just try to find the connections. So when you're already doing your grocery shopping or you're already going to the library or whatever it is, how can you integrate that theme into like, hey, if respect is the theme, let's be mindful of that when we're with the cashier and we say hello, we say our please, we say our thank yous. And it's just these reminders of these things that we're already doing, but we're bringing more awareness to them.
Yep. Yes, exactly. And speaking of respect, like what about sibling interactions, right? So if you've got your kids home, it's definitely a good time to start working on that.
Yeah, always a good time to be working on the respect with the siblings. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't have to be summertime.
No, all the time.
Yeah. All right. So this is my last tip, actually. This is around keeping those academics going. And we touched a little bit on it in the anti-boredom segment, but really kind of honing in on how can we bridge that gap? How do we kind of work that into or kind of predetermine when we are going to be working on these things in our schedule. Mm-hmm. And so, you know your child best. If you do need to have a specific time each day, maybe routine and structure and kind of, you know, everybody know is kind of is able to kind of anticipate and prepare for when their workbook time is, great. Then do that. For some kids, one of my kids in particular likes to be more in control over this stuff. So I'm not going to predetermine when it needs to be done. I might do something like, hey, you need to do 3 pages of this particular workbook. I like the workbooks that have math, science, reading, all that stuff in one. So you just get one big chunky one. And then you can say, hey, let's do a couple pages. We have a chalkboard in our little kitchen area. And so we'll just write it down. Hey, just let's do these pages today. And for her, I'll say, I don't care when you do it. You can do it whenever you feel like it, whenever is good for you. Give her a little bit of buy-in, but mm-hmm. it just needs to be done before you watch your evening shows. And then that kind of, you know, we call this high probability versus low probability behavior, right? This is kind of a low probability or a low P activity preceding a high P activity, some behavioral language for you. But she's much more likely to do it, you know, when mm-hmm. she knows that she's going to get that high probability or that fun activity right afterwards. So she tends to do it like that. She knows she's most motivated to do it right before she watches her shows. And that's totally fine for me. I don't care when mm-hmm. she does it, yeah. as long as she gets it done. And you know, I can kind of keep the TV watching contingent upon her completing that workbook. So I still get that goal met, and she has a lot of flexibility and freedom. So, you know, just knowing your child best, kind of integrating it and working it into the schedule as you see fit, asking the teacher if you're not already out of your school, asking the teacher for different ideas. A lot of teachers probably have already sent home ideas, you know, keep reading. Mm-hmm. That's usually the number one thing. A lot of teachers yeah. talk about journaling. My mom was a teacher for many years, and that's what we had to do, is we had to have a journal that we did. And, you know, when we were really little, it was just a couple of sentences and, you know, you draw a picture, and then it got, you know, more substantial over time. But journaling, doing the summer reading program. A lot of local libraries have a summer reading program, which is fun, and they get to earn different rewards, and it's kind of neat. Ours is all electronic now at our library, which I actually don't like as much, because then you have to go in and log everything. It was more fun to take them. They could, you know, write it down on a piece of paper and turn it mm-hmm. in and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But check out the summer reading program and get back into maybe going to the library.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. And you could even do that. I've heard of families doing it kind of on their own, where they just say, all right, you have X amount of books to read for the summer. And if you read mm-hmm. this many books, you know, you get this goal or this prize or whatever it might be. And then it's kind of cool for the kids, because they can see, like, maybe they're increasing their number of books, or at least number of pages they're reading over time, like across summers. So it's pretty mm-hmm. cool for kids to see their path, you know, like, oh, wow. Just like you had mentioned with journaling, when you were little, it was maybe only a couple sentences. But then as you get older, it's like, wow, look at how far you've come, you know, look at how much you can do during the summer. So,
yeah, no, it's cool. Great. And actually, since the pandemic, I will say a lot of schools have invested in technology and different academic curricula online. And our school is extending some of these subscriptions into the summer. There's also a couple math programs that we signed up for, and you get a major discount from the school district. So it was like, you know, $12 or something for the summer. And we signed up my older one. She really loves math. So they give them 4 kind of challenge questions a week, and they work through it. It's this multi-step kind of critical thinking sort of thing. And she just does it, you know, online. It's just really simple. She can do it all on Monday, or she can kind of sprinkle it throughout the week, just really minor, but it's just something to kind of keep mm-hmm. her brain moving. And so, you know, when she goes back in the fall, it's not going to be a total shocker.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think that that's important too, when you think about what works best for your child, right? Because some kids are like, oh, give me a workbook all day. You know, like I will sit here and I will flip through the pages and I want to be in a workbook. Other kids might be like, give me a computer. I just want to be on the computer. I want to see the animation. I want to see, you know, the, I want to click the buttons. And my son's program that he did throughout the I always play around with him on this one because one of the characters' name was like Flarg or something. And he would give me such a hard time about doing his homework every afternoon. So I said, what? We got to see what Flarg is up to. and then I don't even think that's the right name. I think I always say it wrong. And then he corrects me. I think he's like, Mom, it's Blarg or something, you know? But it's, yeah. that's what gets him going, you know? So then he's like, okay, well, I got to see what Flarg is up to.
Yeah,
so
whatever works. This.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so keep the academics going, but figure out how you can make it work for your kid and what's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, let's move into the last tip that we have. So use this time to see what skills are needed for your child or teen. So thinking about what is something that they need to learn over the summer that they can use for the next school year. And sometimes we say, well, with summer, there's downtime, right? So you can work on it. Maybe certain self-help skills, maybe social skills are areas to explore. I suggest a lot, what about using an alarm clock? This yeah. might be a good one. So teach your child how to use an alarm clock over the summer. So then when they get into the school year, they're ready and they can do it. Shaving is another good example. So really just think about your child or teen and what do they need to learn moving into the next year? And then how can you add that in throughout the summer?
Yeah, absolutely. They can debut their new skills.
Right.
Kristen, you and I have worked our whole careers kind of off and on with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and teens and adults. And so we've definitely taken advantage of this time to, like you said, work on things like shaving, right? So I've worked with a lot of clients where we would kind of embark on the shaving adventure and would just, you know, kind of get past the hiccups and get it right. And that way, when they go in the fall, they won't be kind of having little cuts and nicks and things like that. They will have learned how to do it by then, but they kind of use the summer as this kind of practice period. So they can kind of hone their skills and be good to go to show them off in the fall.
Yeah. And it really takes some of the pressure off. You know, I tell parents all the time that if your kid has a hard time in the morning routine, for example, like if they're really struggling to get it done, but maybe they want to be more independent, then the summer might be the best time to actually write it out, practice it, like give them some practice being more independent with that routine. So then, because there's no pressure in the summer, right? Like you might, oh, camp doesn't start till 9, but school starts at 7. So, you know, you have the opportunity to have a little more time and flexibility in the mornings during the summer. So,
yeah. No, I like that one. I think my takeaway from that one is just kind of do a little bit of an inventory or an assessment of what skills you think your child needs. And like you said, summer, it's lower stress, lower stakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunity to kind of, yeah, practice and kind of build up some skill sets for the fall.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Should we do a recap of all of our tips?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. So the first one, keep a consistent, as consistent as you can, if not consistent, at least a regular visual schedule for your kids. And then maybe try to keep bedtime around the same time as it was before.
Yeah. And tip number two, making downtime a goal, even if you're not able to take time off of work during the summertime, as many of us are. I think you said it best, Kristen. A lot of us for summer, our routine doesn't change at all in terms of our day-to-day work. But can you figure out a way with your kids being out of school to try to integrate some sort of downtime, maybe even integrating a goal of being more present with your kids, even if it's just a short little time each day?
Mm-hmm. And the next one, don't do this alone. So use resources that are available to you, people around you. So team up with others to find the best way to support your kids and yourself.
Yep. Next one, keeping up with those chores. The house will probably be messier during the summer with kids around, kind of coming and going, camps and play dates and things like that. So make sure that you keep up with your chores. Make sure that the kids have assigned chores if they are, you know, chronologically or developmentally able to handle those, and kind of maybe try out some new chores, mix some things around, but make sure that they're continuing to add and contribute to keeping the household going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the next one, discuss the summertime rules. So the rules do still apply to summer for most families, at least some rules, right? So make sure to let your kids be aware of those rules. Talk about it ahead of time if you can. And maybe just setting some boundaries around screen time and snacking and other things that your kids might try to get into or take advantage of because they have a lot more downtime.
Absolutely. Next one, brainstorming those anti-boredom activities. So working with your kids to put together some sort of proactive list. Maybe you need to be more prescriptive and have some sort of visual schedules if you need to, and then maybe fading yourself back out as your child gets more independent. Maybe even create a anti-boredom jar with various ideas that everybody contributes to, and then can pull one out when they get bored.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the next one, make a summer bucket list. So apparently this is the hot new thing that we're all hearing about. So find ways to, within reason, make a list for you and your family, things that you really want to do over the summer. And that might help organize your summer plans a little bit, and consider maybe adding in some themes too. So maybe some core family values that you might have. You can add those into your summer bucket list so you know that you're checking off some of those things throughout the summer.
All right. My last one is keeping academics going. So figuring out time in the schedule. Maybe your child needs it to be kind of predetermined. It's, for example, every morning we're going to do some workbooks, do some reading, or keeping it open-ended, letting your child pick the time. But as long as you've got something to kind of bridge the gap between one school year into the next, something to consider.
Mm-hmm. And the last one, use this time to take inventory on skills that might be needed. So what are some things that you'd like to work on or your kids might need to learn? And let's use this quote unquote downtime, which sometimes is downtime, sometimes not, to work on those skills. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today. Thank you for joining us on our 25th episode of Behaviorally Speaking. Our next episode will be on flexible thinking. So be sure to tune into that one. And until then, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode.
You've been listening to Behaviorally Speaking with Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi, brought to you by Will, a Rethink division. Find out more at will.com. You can find past podcast episodes under the Resources tab. We also invite you to subscribe, follow, like, and leave us feedback wherever you listen to podcasts. Your feedback helps us prepare topics and content for future episodes. Until next time, have a great day.